You're listening to Breakaway Wealth, the show designed to help you build wealth faster, think bigger, and break out of the herd. Now, here's your host, Jim Oliver.
Welcome back, Breakaway Wealth. I'm your host, Jim Oliver, and I'm excited to have my guest with me today. He's got the best background I've ever seen for Zoom, and it's Brett Snodgrass. Brett, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me, man. Excited to be here.
Yeah, looking Brett, good. I love the background because I love the pipes and the lights, and I mean, it's so cool. And I also, it looks like is that a lion to the right back there?
So I'm a man of faith, number one. So we got the lion and the lamb on each side. You know, I like the industrial look. So the pipes, lights. Yeah, man, I'm literally in my basement right now. So I got like a 10x10 space. So I did what I could, and here we go. So it beats the virtual background, and most people do.
Well, it does beat the virtual background. And when Nick Costco, because Nick kind of has kind of the wood look behind his, but when he sees the other stuff that you have back there, I love the lion and the lamb. I was going there because I was like, there's a lion on this side, a lamb on that side. And I figured that's where you were going with that. But so Brett, I got a lot of questions for you, but before I dive in, tell everybody who you are, what you do, and just kind of give them a little introduction.
Yeah. No, thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. So yeah, Brett Snodgrass, born in Indiana, live in Indiana, been a Hoosier my whole life, very middle class growing up. Parents were teachers. My dad, you know, paycheck to paycheck, high school basketball coach. So if you ever seen the movie Hoosiers, that was pretty much my life. My dad was the coach. I was the player. And that was my life really growing up. Got into business. Well, I didn't go into school to be in business. I got an elementary education degree, but I've been always interested in business. And that's kind of bring us up today. Fast forward 20 plus years, read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, just like most people did. Some other books like The Millionaire Next Door, another book that kind of really changed my trajectory. Bought my first real estate house in 2007. So, you know, blessed, lucky. It was at the end of 2007. So everyone else was running for the hills and I was just going after it, and ended up being a blessing. And fast forward 17 years later, so I'm a real estate investor. We flip houses. We've done maybe 3,000 transactions, I'd say, in the last 17 years. I do a lot of seller financing. So, you know, I love what you do about talking about being the bank. So we are the bank on seller financing a lot. I have about 60 rentals. So I do some buy and hold as well. That's in a nutshell. I'm a husband. I'm a father of four kids.
Nice.
And
how old are your kids?
So my oldest is 16. So she is, got about a year and a half left. She's a junior. And then I have a 10-year-old son, 8-year-old son, and a 5-year-old daughter. So really all angles are coming at me every day.
That's
talking
awesome.
About, you know, teenagers and then little kids things. And, I'm also an author, just wrote a book called The Secret War Within that just got published about a month or so ago. And we have a ministry called Iron Deep for men, business owners of faith. So that's a little bit of what we do, and excited to be here, man.
That's awesome. You have a lot of stuff for me to touch on. I want to touch on something that you just said, though, at the end is, you know, I don't know how many years ago, Brett, it was, I'm going to say five, something like that. But about 5 years ago, this friend of mine and I, we're both living in South Dakota part of the year, and I was coming here part of the year in Southwest Florida. And we said, hey, we're going to start having a Bible study. He just moved from California to South Dakota. Crazy, right? And he said, let's meet on Friday morning, 6 a.m. You know, I mean, you know the drill, right? Mm-hmm. This is the way we used to do it.
Right.
And so it would be colder than, you know, anything. And we're, you know, meeting in my office. You know, we thought, well, God will just put people in front of us and, you know, it'll grow. A month later, it's just the two of us. 3 months later, it's just and we're inviting people. Just nobody's coming right, at 6 no a.m. on Friday.
Not in South Dakota in a cold
and
morning.
So he says, well, I said, Joe, I'm going to Florida, you know, for 4 or 5 months and for the winter. And he goes, oh, no problem. There's this app called YouVersion. Mm. And on YouVersion, we'll still do our devotionals, but we'll do it every day, right? And you'll read and I'll pick one. You pick one. We'll read. We'll comment. And blah, 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 blah. So then Nick Costco, Joe Pantozzi, Justin Kraft, these guys said, hey, I want to be part of this.
Mm.
Now, all of a sudden, our thing that didn't grow has 15 guys that wow. every day read a devotional, make comments, interact with each other. We have Zooms. We have everything. We haven't done an in-person thing yet, but I'm thinking Florida in the winter would be good for these other guys. And it's just cool. So I love what you said about iron deep, because that makes me think iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
And, you know, these guys have been instrumental in my life for that. And I know that you wouldn't have named your company that in the book. And I have you sent me the book. The book is on my bookshelf right over here to the right. And I'm going to read it. So Secret War Within. And I love that. So talk about, now that I went through that long thing there, talk about how you have found that faith in business and in interacting and doing real estate deals, especially seller finance. Mm. Talk about how all those things go together.
Yeah, that's a great question. So as I mentioned, you know, we bought our first deal in 2007, and I honestly wasn't a Christian when I bought my first deal. I just wanted to make a buttload of money, and I want to be a multimillionaire, and just like a lot of 20-year-olds do. I got really slapped upside the face. You know, I ended up having a child out of wedlock around 27 years old, tried to make that work. We never got married, but that relationship did not work. So I just remember sitting in my big house. I was making quite a bit of money at that time, more than I had made in my life. I was about 30, and you know, my 2-year-old daughter sitting over here, and just feeling just completely empty. So, you know, went through this whole year of challenging, searching, chasing. What is life all about? What is the meaning of all of this? I have a lot of these things, and really searching. And that's when I, you know, really started seeking God and ended up coming to Christ at 30 years old. And that was 13 years ago now. So really that journey started then. I was still doing business. Didn't feel like, you know, going into the ministry was the path for me. I think, you know, we need more marketplace leaders that are of faith, that are leading that way. And so when I started really digging into our business, you know, we wanted to lead that way. Are we in your face about it? I mean, I'm not going to be shy about it. If you say, you know, do we have all Christians on my real estate team? No, but they know where I stand, and that's how I operate the business. But our core values really stem from the Bible. I'm always talking about humility, which I think is the greatest virtue out there. So I'm always pounding into my team, you know, humility, putting others first, put your clients first, put each other first. How can we not be so selfish and think of the other person first? How can we do that? So the most humble person on the earth was Christ. So a lot of our core values stem from that. We do pray before our meetings, so we intertwine faith in there. And you know, I think one of the reasons why we are successful is, again, like I'm always talking about, how can we put the other people first? How can we be humble? How can we really live this out with integrity, not just to make a lot of money? And we've had to make very difficult decisions in our business. We make mistakes just like everybody else, and we've had to, you know, correct some of those mistakes, which end up costing us a lot of money. But at the end of the day, it was the right thing to do. So I could go into some different stories. As far as the seller financing goes, I love that model. You know, we started doing that about 6 or 7 years ago, and we really did it because there was a few houses that we struggled to sell. So we said, hey, maybe we'll sell these on terms. Let's just see how that goes. And we did it. And then people started asking us, hey, do you guys do selling on terms? And I said, you know, I guess, you know, we could definitely look at that. So we started doing it a couple more times, and then other people started coming out of the woodwork. And really, I started to love it because we're really helping people, a lot of self-employed individuals, buy houses. And I'm self-employed, right? And I think, Jim, you're self-employed, you're on your own business. And I know that if I go into a bank right now and I want to buy a primary home, or I want to buy an investment home, it is very difficult for me to do that, because they look at my tax returns. I write off a lot of stuff. I write off as much as I can to pay less on taxes. And I don't have this big W-2 job, this corporate job. So even though we make a lot of money, they don't give me the mortgage. So I know how that feels. So for us to be able to help some of these self-employed individuals, it helps us, it helps them. It's a win-win. And being the bank, man, where's the money at? Right. The bank. So
exactly. The bank is the most profitable business in the world. And when I think of infinite banking, Brett, I think of Matthew 25:17. And it's the three servants, one given five talents, one given three, one given one. And by the way, I butcher Bible verses like
it's all good.
Business.
I summarize it too.
And so, but what happens is two of the servants put the money in motion and they double the number of talents. And a talent was about would be in today's dollars around $180,000, $200,000. It was a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. So five of them would have been a lot of money, but they double it. The one servant, he buries it in the ground and does nothing with it. Mm-hmm. And the master comes back and says, you wicked and evil servant, the least you could have done is give it to the banks to earn interest. The least you could have done, right?
Right, right.
So what it means is motion is a law of God. If air doesn't flow in out of my body, I die. If mm-hmm. blood doesn't flow through my body, it dies. If water doesn't flow, it becomes stagnant, it dies. And if money doesn't flow, it dies. Mm-hmm. So what I love about what you're doing is you said something to me on the seller finance, and where I was going with that in my head was, once I have a certain amount of notes that I own, and I have a certain amount of money coming in from those notes that exceeds my ideal standard of living, then I'm financially independent. And it doesn't matter if you're 43 years old or 58 years old or 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that freedom, because money gives you choices, choices give you freedom. And our lives are measured on this earth in time, right? So if we exchange time for money, then we're exchanging our lives for money. And if the government's debasing that money, meaning that they're making it worth less and less and less every single day, then they're stealing our money, which is our time, which is our life, which is the very definition of slavery. Mm. So I know it's crazy, right? But and people go, click, okay, I'm not listening. Right. Jim's gone off in the conspiracy theory thing. No, I mean, tell me where that's wrong. That's all I can say is tell me where I'm wrong in my thinking.
No. Yeah.
But we want to be free, right? Mm-hmm. So I love that you broke away from kind of the herd early at, you said 30, let's see, was that seven? At 30, you became a Christian,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, I became a Christian at 24. I never went to church when I was a kid or anything like that. And I always thought, man, I'm never going to fit into this group. Like this mm-hmm. group, that's bow ties and saddle shoes and vest, right. sweater vests and always got a smile on their face. And I'm like, yeah. that's just not me, you know? And I'm like, so I love that you, like you said, you're not pushy about it, but you wear it transparently mm-hmm. in your business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when people are pushy about it, it makes people suspicious because they're like, well,
yeah.
And by the way, that doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. Doesn't mean that, you know, if we have 10 deals, one or two of them don't work out the way we expected, right?
For sure.
But, you know, you give me 10 at bats and I promise you, I'm going to hit the ball 8 times. And that's what I tell people on deals.
I agree. And I think the action speaks so much louder than words. So I think that if you can really live out that humility, which is probably the very most difficult thing to do because we're all very selfish and prideful individuals. But if you can truly pray through that and live that out and to think about how can I, you know, I like to put it like this. What if I celebrated Jim's success more than my own? What if I could actually live that out?
Yeah.
What if I wanted you to be more successful than myself?
Right.
Isn't that just a crazy concept?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you've read this book, but The Go-Giver, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The 5 stratospheric laws of success. Always bring more value than you expect in payment. So that's kind of what you're saying is provide more value than any payment that you'll ever get. So, you know, Brett, and I can see that that's what you do. How do you like somebody listening in the audience and they think, okay, well, it's not 2007. I don't know if this is the right time or not, but I do need to educate myself on how do I get into the real estate space? Now, I'm a big believer in who, not how, right? I don't want to be the expert in everything, but I want to find the expert. If I were going to go climb Mount Everest, I would say I'm going to go find the best Sherpa. I don't want to be a Sherpa. I want to find the best Sherpa. So talk about how you work with clients. Like, what's the special sauce that you found? Because you've been up, you've been down, and, you know, wherever we're at right now in the cycle of real estate. And I assume that once people really are professionals, the market is the market. But yeah. I don't care if you're doing Subject 2 right now, you're doing RV parks, whatever it is. It's I know your attitude isn't, well, interest rates are high, so we're not doing anything.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Yeah.
We do stuff. We do more stuff, actually. I mean, I'm probably more excited. Here's where I'm at. I mean, you know, a few years ago, I had a guy running my company. I had been doing real estate 15 plus years, and I was kind of like burnt out, right? I've been, man, slinging deals. So I got a chance to step out, rest, wrote a book, did some personal development, things like that. But this year, I've had to step back in. And at first I was like, man, I don't even know if I have what it takes. So if you guys think you don't know have what it takes, I mean, guys been doing it 15, 16, 17 years. I had to step back into a business, to a different world, different market, interest rates crazy. And I was like, man, I don't know if I have what it takes. It took me about 6 months. And I'll tell you, here we are right now. I am more excited about some of the strategies that we're doing, particularly right now, than I've ever been. And a lot of it has stemmed off this creative financing strategy. So if I had to step in right now for the very first time, I would probably really study creative financing. You probably know some of the names out there. I mean, I watch the YouTube channels. You got Eddie Speed talking about creative financing. You got Pace Morby talking about creative financing. I study all these things, and I'm more excited about this particular strategy than I ever have been. So that's where I would study. And why, you know, you talked about subject twos, seller financing. So I talked about seller financing on the selling end, and we're really leaning into seller financing on the buying end. And if you can do that, I think it's a game changer, because and I'll just give you a quick scenario, because we do both. And I don't know state by state, but here's a quick scenario. We bought a house subject to about 2 months ago. We bought it for $177,000. The guy owed $150,000. So we put $27,000 of our own money down. Interest rate was about 4%. Payments, I think, were like $800. I don't know off the top of my head, but around $800. We bought the house. We didn't do anything to it. Didn't even fix it up. We cleaned it out. We put it back on the market. We sold it for $229,000. And after commissions and everything, we ended up making $40,000 spread. That's a typical deal for us. Again, I want to be clear. A typical deal is we buy it for 177, we sell it for 229, we make 30K, give or take. That's a very typical deal. But here's the catch. We bought it subject to. Now we got this 150K mortgage. We sold it on executory contract or land contract, and we can carry the underlying mortgage on it. So we made a 30K spread. But here's the kicker, and here's what I get really excited about. We charge 12% interest. We're paying four. Our buyer's paying $1,900 a month. We're paying $800. There's an $1,100 spread on the interest for 20 years. That's the kicker. And I tell people, if you want to net $1 million a year, just do 100 of those and you're set for the next 20. So that's the key. And I want to, you know, I get chills even thinking about it. I'm like, man, we're going to try to do 100 of those deals. And that's the power that we're walking into in the next 5 years. So don't be scared about the interest rates. Be excited about some of these other creative strategies that we're walking into that weren't available 3 years ago because they're, right. You know, so yeah, excited.
So I love what you just said there. So for somebody in the audience that doesn't know what subject to is, give them 30 seconds, 60 seconds on what subject to is, just so we know.
Yeah, no problem. So subject to is we're buying the house and they're transferring the property to us just like a normal transaction. They have a mortgage on the property. The only thing different is we're not paying off their mortgage, but we're paying their mortgage payments. So the property gets transferred over to us, but the mortgage stays in their name, but we are responsible to pay their mortgage payments. Now, people say, why would anyone do that? And the kicker is most of these people are in pain. So maybe they're behind two payments. Maybe they're behind three. Maybe they're behind four. The banks knock on their door and we are there to help them pay back their mortgage, pay it up to active. Now we're paying their mortgage and we're bringing their credit up. And that's why somebody typically would do it. There's other scenarios, but basically we buy the property, but we pay their mortgage payments.
And that, you know, a lot of people don't even realize that that's possible. Obviously, right. you mentioned Pace Morby, who teaches people all the time how to do this.
And the cool thing about it is again, what I love about it is who wants a 3% interest rate right now?
Right.
I mean, you go to the bank, no one can get a 3% interest rate. No private lender is going to lend to you at 3%. How do you get a 3% interest rate? Subject to.
Exactly. And you know what? There's so much opportunity, like you said, because there are still people that are behind that are hurting and you're helping them too. Yeah. So like way back to what you said about serving someone else, you are serving them and you're helping them be more bankable for the future, et cetera, which is really cool. But also what you said is you have a system, right? It's a system that you've done. You know what to expect. It's not get rich quick. It's, we know we got about 30 grand of profit in this transaction, and we're going to go do 100 of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
and that's what, and that's the kicker with it. I mean, you got to do something with this deal. You can't just do a subject to deal and then not know what to do and just sit on it. I mean, you got to, you could rent it, you could Airbnb it, you could sell it on land contract. Like you could, I like the land contract way just because, again, I want to be kind of out of the deal. I love the interest arbitrage because it's like, plus I don't have to them calling me and manage it and all that stuff. So, yeah,
absolutely. Perfect. So how do people interact with you, Brett? I mean, how do they get to meet you, learn from you, and see if it's, here's what I always tell people is find the people that we have on the show, learn about them, and get to one point. Either they're for you or they're not for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, like it fits you or it doesn't fit you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, so basically I do a lot of things. I mean, we do some education on the real estate side, but a lot of the education that I do are for, you know, mostly real estate owners, but really of the Christian faith. We've developed an organization called Iron Deep. We have a couple of events a year and we're getting ready to start smaller, you know, mastermind, brotherhood types of events. We're a very young organization. And this is something I just do because I love it, honestly, right now. So irondeep.com is our website. That's one way to check it out. We have another podcast that Jim's going to be on called the Iron Deep Podcast. Check that out. If you do want to reach out, I mean, I'd love to just chat with you. I mean, I do that here and there. I'm not going to set up my whole schedule with that and coach a bunch of clients, but I love to point you. I'm more of a connector, I'd say, than a coach because I've been in real estate mastermind groups. You know, I've been in the Collective Genius Mastermind for 8+ years. So I know a lot of people in the real estate space. So I love to connect you to who can really help you if I can. So irondeep.com, probably the best way to check us out.
All right, Brett, I got two questions for you before we wrap up. And I encourage everybody to go to irondeep.com, see if it's for you and just check it out, see the opportunities and get to know Brett a little bit better. And I'm definitely going to do that, Brett, because I'm going to read the book. I love the background, but I love the cover of the book. And I love the teaching or the thought of the book too. So, all right, two quick questions. One, what's the best advice anybody ever gave you?
You told me these before the show, but I really haven't had time to think about it. I mean, there's just so much advice. It really would be probably both of these answers are going to be about the team. Make sure you're building the team around you, that you don't have to do it all. So build the team around you to help get you to where you want to go.
Awesome. And the last question is, if God came down from heaven and only allowed you to retain the knowledge that you've received from one book, and after everything that you've said, not the Bible, but what would that book be?
I mean, and that's another one. There's so many good books. You know, one of the things that's probably on top of my mind right now, just in this season, is probably the same book that you mentioned, is that Who, Not How. And, you know, I'm always thinking about who is going to help with this. A quick example was I live in Fort Wayne and I travel to Indy once or twice a week and I just hired a driver, a chauffeur. Again, you know, an expense to that. But again, I'm trying to think about who is going to help me stay in my talent,
yep.
Right? So I don't have to be draining my energy driving, right? Because that's yeah. An energy suck. Anyways, that was a great book I recently read for sure. I'm also a big Donald Miller fan. He wrote Story Brand, but he wrote another book, How to Build a Small Business. That's another book. So he's another author I like as well.
Yeah, I do too. I like Donald Miller a lot. All right. Well, Brett, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for writing the book that you wrote and can't wait to dive into that. And thank you for doing everything that you're doing and serving people. I love that that's the humility aspect, that trait that you mentioned. And serving. I mean, being humble and serving, two great places to start. And we're going to wrap this up like we do every episode with the amazing words of Earl Nightingale and The Strangest Secret. Take it away, Earl.
Here's the key to success and the key to failure. We become what we think about. Now, let me say that again. We become what we think about.
Once again, thank you so much for taking the time to hear what was shared on today's podcast. If you are looking to discover new wealth building strategies, then go to community.createtailwind.com. That's community.createtailwind.com to join our free online community and get access to free courses and in-depth training videos designed to help you build wealth and break away from the herd. Click the link in the show notes to access the community today. Thanks again for listening.